Over the last 50 years, the U.S. economy has been marked with almost constant expansion and growing prosperity. But author Kevin Phillips believes the wealth it's created is not being shared.
What you've got developing at the top in this country is just mind-blowing. And the people at the bottom are just tiny ants by comparison.
Phillips, between writing commentaries for Morning Edition, has finished a new book called Wealth and Democracy, A Political History of the American Rich, in which he argues a large gap between the rich and the not-so-rich signals some very serious problems ahead. Phillips says that gap is growing.
If you look at the richest people in the Forbes 400 and you start in 1982, you see that the 30 richest families had between $500 million to $8.6 billion. By 1999, the range was from $7 billion to $85 billion. That's a tenfold increase in 17 years. There have never been two decades like this in American history.
CEO pay seems to go up even when the company takes a loss or has a poor year.
Absolutely. There's no merit system involved. It's just who's got the best golden parachute and silver key and platinum whatever. But it's been just enormously productive for the people at the top in business.
So is Enron symptomatic of the ethics in business today?
I'm not certain whether it's symptomatic of the ethics. I think it is symptomatic of the transformation of more and more of American business from people and companies who make things to companies and people who play with things, who think up new ways of slicing the pie, who think up reorganizations, financial gimmicks. And that's a real problem. It's become so much of what the people who really make money in this country do. But it's not a foundation for the future, or at least history suggests as much.
But it has to be what America does, since we can't make anything anymore. That's all made in the third world.
Well, no, obviously Americans still do things. The precarious aspect of this is that more and more of the real economy that we used to have, the economy that used to make a middle-class American the wonder of the world, that has moved. And the middle-class American is no longer remotely the wonder of the world. They have to have two breadwinners to sustain the lifestyle many of their families had with one breadwinner. And you have this extraordinary process of Americans working longer with fewer benefits, while people elsewhere, in Europe in particular, work shorter hours and creep up or pass us on the wage front.
But what about the resiliency of the economy? Look at what it's done. It's absorbed the entry of tens of millions of women into the workforce, millions of immigrants. How do you account for the rise of the black middle class if it's been so unfair?
Well, the rise of the black middle class is an interesting phenomenon in itself. There have been surveys done of who has the wealth among American households. And when you take blacks and Hispanics, even in the middle class, they have very little wealth as opposed to income. And it's the wealth in the hands of families for a generation or two that tends to breed more of the stability and all of the things that people are looking for that has not really been achieved by the 10% that may constitute a black middle class.
Where does this intersect with politics, since this is a history of both wealth and politics?
The intersection historically is that when you get this sort of massive buildup, it tends to create financial and speculative instability in economic downturns. You have a revulsion with what's going on in the financial community, the Enron sort of stuff. And you get a public disenchantment that helps lead into a political upheaval. We saw that in the progressive movement after the incredible Gilded Age. We saw that in the New Deal. And we are starting, I think, to see the frameworks of it now. But you can't say we're very far into it. The political system doesn't want to talk about a lot of this because the politicians get the checks they need to survive from people with a lot of money.
So politics is facilitating the system.
Politics always facilitates these surges of financial and corporate power for a while. The question is whether politics can correct it. That's what's happened before. Whether it can happen this time, with the enormous amount of money that has flowed into politics and which is necessary to the politicians if they want to survive, I think is one of the acid tests of where the republic is headed.
So where is the outrage? Why isn't there a revolution?
Well, there's a lot of outrage, and all you have to do is take John McCain's great quotes from 2000 and the man lit a prairie fire for a while. I think that the difficulty is you've got 25 or 30% of Americans feel this way. The others say, yeah, but they've always done it. They've always bought the system, and it's no different now, but it's no worse now. And what it usually takes is a major implosion of a speculative bubble and a major lapse of the economy into a real downturn. Now, the Federal Reserve is doing its best to keep something from generating enough of an economic downtrend that the American public gets angry but not livid. And given the nature of politics being bought so much, that could work.
And all this coming not from a bomb-throwing anarchist, but a man who worked in the Nixon White House.
Well, my views here are not those of the typical Republican. I grant you that.
They're going to kick you right out of the yacht club.
Oh, I think they've kicked me out already. Certainly, I'm not getting on the great yacht rides.
Author and Morning Edition commentator Kevin Phillips. His new book is Wealth and Democracy, A Political History of the American Rich.